truthfully, what happens is, as children grow up, we start to educate them progressively from the waist up. And then we focus on their heads, and slightly to one side.
I think in the old days, you know, you were better off. Because nowadays, they're all specialists. Everyone's becoming better and better, and less and less. And eventually, someone's going to be superb at nothing.
Our education system has mined our minds in the way that we've strip-mined the earth for a particular commodity. And for the future, it won't serve us. We have to rethink the fundamental principles on which we're educating our children.
We're not here to tell everybody that they're wrong and we're right. We're not saying that we have all the answers, but we'd like to present a different way of looking at it.
Welcome, listeners, to episode 18. How exciting. Here we are of China Jedication. It's myself, Chris Bradshaw, and of course my man with the plan, Mr. Lamont. How are you doing today, Will?
I'm alive and well, so that's good.
Alive and kicking, I thought, was the statement, wasn't it? But, you know, as always, we like to do things different.
Yes.
Alive and well, and it's been a long time.
It has been a long time since we've recorded, yeah. So, fair few things have happened since then. I think both of our situations have been turned on its head.
Yeah. We haven't had any more children. I mean, not together, of course, but with our respective others.
Yep.
Which is probably a good thing with today's population. But we are alive and well and kicking at the same time. Mm-hmm. And we're teaching, aren't we, Will, as really what this pod's all about.
That we are, yes.
And how's it going for you?
It has been an interesting experience because it's done two things for me. It's reminded me what I love about teaching children. Mm. It's also reminded me what I find so, I don't want to sound too over the top, but it reminded me of what I find unacceptable about our education system, about our teaching institutions and things like that. And I'm sure that it's all coming together for you too.
Yeah.
Especially here in China. Was this the first Chinese-run school that you've taught at?
No, okay. It's not. The last time I had that experience was about 8 years ago, I think. And what's been, I suppose, surprisingly unsurprising is that I would say in 8 years... I can't say there's been much change in terms of what you're tapping into there.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is the name of the game, isn't it? Education's one of those industries that is a slow slogger. And, you know, again, it is country-specific in a way, but I think worldwide, as we've talked about before when we looked at the state of education, things do need to change.
Right.
And hopefully very quickly for the ones that, of course, most important and most effective, which is our kids of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me just give you this. I can't believe that in 2018, the children I'm teaching, I'm doing elementary at the moment, have not seen one single computer screen with me in any of my classes.
Nope.
And nor do I have any access to any form of technology. And that's seriously worrying, I think. I think the listeners would probably agree with us there. In a world of technology that the kids aren't having technology to interface or learn through.
I found it interesting to see that a lot of the Chinese teachers are using, I think its name is Hi4. I don't know what it means. But it's basically, it's an input system where they can record their answers.
Yeah.
And the teachers can see what each student has answered. I mean, it's
a deep thinking machine, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. It's slightly more complex than the whiteboards that I've used them, or even their chalkboard slates that they use in class that I sometimes pull out for them to play with. So it's kind of frightening that that's the biggest step forward.
Right,
you know, we have AIs on the brink of coming to fruition. We have androids and autonomous vehicles and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, portable pickup in Connect. Yeah.
And the best that we can do in a classroom is
have a game show buzzer system.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, well, Will, I tell you what, this isn't a time for cathartic let's keep it to what we're trying to do, because I'm sure we could fill hours with the rabbit hole you're going down, and I'd quite like to follow it there with you. Maybe we can do that another day.
Yeah.
So let's get back in. By the way, I had this idea with researchers. When we do Joke of the Week, we're going to add a little bit of something else in. We're going to have Riddle of the Day, mm-hmm. Or maybe Interesting Fact of the Hour. How about that? So let's see what we got.
It could change.
May the smile be with you.
Thank you.
So, Riddle of the Week then. And interesting fact of the hour, and I might give you two by the look of my sheet today I've been given. Do you know that rubber bands, this is a fact for you, rubber bands or elastic bands last longer when refrigerated?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either till I saw it, but I'm thinking kind of with the heat and stuff, the heat probably denatures the elasticism. Certainly the ones in China I've had, I've left out. I go to use them and they snap.
Yeah.
Probably because of the heat as well in a lot of respects. So if anyone's in China and you're having elastic band problems, put them in the fridge.
Yeah.
Bing, shang, put them in there. Okay, wonderful. So I'm glad you didn't know that. And then I'm sure hopefully many of the listeners didn't. Ah, such knowledge we impart here in China Jedication, Will.
Priceless. Or valueless. One.
It has no value. Riddle of the day. Here we go. You're not going to get this one, I don't think. The one who made it didn't want it. The one who bought it didn't need it. The one who used it never saw it. What is it? And may I say that an answer, if you have one, should not come now. I've been buzzed. But at the end of today's show, we will give you the answer. Quickly go through. The one who made it didn't want it. The one who bought it didn't need it. The one who used it never saw it. What is it, Mr. Lamont?
Well, riddles are like jokes with me. I appreciate them. I enjoy them. I can never remember them. And I know I've heard this one, but I do not remember it yet.
And thus, you never get them either, then.
True.
Okay, well, maybe someone out there has. And, of course, me knowing the answer, it's obvious. But when you hear it like that, it never is. So, wonderful. Well, Will, it's been a long time. I think last time we came together, we were talking about moulds. And how the education system is moulding us to do certain jobs, of which really, you know, as we evolve in society, aren't there anymore. And so the mould should be, I think we were talking about, be able to be changed.
Correct.
And not the same mould for everyone. We shouldn't be creating sausage meat of young generations to be used in sausage moulds.
Yes.
Sausage factories. Where am I going with this? on, though, from the sausage, what are we going to be talking about today? Well, what's the main...
Well, I think today's discussion has been, I'm going to fast forward through the process that I was going to take us through, and I'm going to take us right to the end, because we have somebody coming to Zhuhai very, very soon,
uh-huh.
who whose ideas and whose thoughts, his experiments, actually... just set off this idea for me, and I wanted to share it with other people, because I don't think it's I don't want to keep it. I want other people to take it and do what they can with it.
We had a good conversation about this at lunch, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
The other day. Now, this guy, of course, is he's from India.
Yes.
And I learned about him too during my teaching studies. It's wonderful. He's called Sugata Mitra, and you can find him on.
Well, he has two, maybe three, excellent TED Talks that are. Probably quite viral at this point. He's definitely all over YouTube if you care to look for him. I have to say, I'm unfortunately not sure what his field is, if he's a professor of education or anything like this, or a sociologist or anything. I'm unsure. Do you know?
Yeah, well, I think he's definitely a doctor. I don't know exactly what particular discipline he's in, but. His main, how do we say, the key word for this was, of course, his concept of souls. Not souls as in S-O-U-L-S, but souls as in S-O-L-S, which, of course, stands for...
self-organized learning, what?
Systems. Self-organized learning systems. I mean, we could both talk on this, but please, you know, fast forward, Will, and mark it out.
Well, his whole discovery was that most of the time children can just start learning about things by themselves. Mm. If you give them a set of tools, they'll play with those tools and they'll eventually build something or find good ways of using it. They'll teach other children about what they've learned and how to use it. They'll basically, they organize themselves, self-organized, and then they'll find that they learn and also teach other children. So the insight that I think I've had for this is that not necessarily just leaving it up to the children all by themselves. I think there is a good argument for having some sort of structure, playing within a certain limitation, like giving them tools to play within a certain area and use those tools, but not to go hog wild and crazy with them. And I think he found that they had even better results from the studies that he did once he organized some sort of mentor system for the children. So there would be no teachers in the classroom. There would be a computer that was completely unrestricted for the internet. Well, I don't know about completely unrestricted. But they were able to call up or have meetings with older people. Who were grandmas or grandpas, people who were retired, possibly had some great skill at one thing in the community, but they were available for these children to interact with at any time. And basically they would give them tips and guidance and, you know, help them solve problems. So it started me thinking that why is this such a foreign idea? Why is this such a bad thing to have in our schools or in our education system?
Yeah, well, the first word that comes to mind there that we've talked about before is chaos. And, you know, just that whole idea, especially in China, where the idea is that the school needs to look nice and everything has to be ordered. Yep. Could you imagine allowing children just to do their own thing? It would look chaos. But, of course, humanity is not all about surface level, although very much our 21st century world does seem to be that. But can I just fill in a little bit there, Will, if we're talking about that for our listeners?
Sure.
If they haven't heard of this guy and his research, it all started off in India, where literally he would put a cash point type computer in a wall. And he'd leave it there, and it would have a mouse. I don't remember a mouse or something that they could move the cursor around in.
Sure.
And it was connected to the internet. And they just film this kind of interface on a street in India. And it's really interesting. You watch one kid, and of course these kids, listeners, don't have school. They're illiterate. They don't even have shoes, most of them, when you see in the videos. One would come along and say, "Hey, what's this?" And he'd look at it. And he'd stay there for a bit, and then he'd start playing with it, and he'd start organising himself. And then another child would come along, another street child, and they'd say, "Hey, what's this?" And by maybe after an hour or 2 hours, 3 hours, you'd have 6, 12, 20 kids all standing around each other like a hive, but talking with each other and teaching each other.
Taking turns at using the interface.
Yeah, and learning by themselves, and it really is quite wonderful. And of course, he took this idea and put it into other systems of study, like you've said, bringing in these kind of coaches, and we've often talked about this, that I think the way forward would be also to import this idea of teachers becoming more like coaches. So instead of this kind of teacher-centered, listen to the teacher, autocratic style of learning, the teacher would be the guide on the side and not the sage on the stage. Very much so with that. So that's just a bit of a fill in there for the listeners on that. And of course, Will, I was saying the other day as well, are we as teachers actually teaching nowadays, or even in the past? How are children actually learning? And maybe I'm being a little bit deep here, but hey, why not? We are China Jedi. Although we've had media. I showed you that someone wrote about us the other day.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, no, I've got to say it. It's brilliant. It's like, if you don't like anything deep, simple, if you have simple minds, check out China Jedi for a light-hearted look at Chinese life. I call that as quite tongue-in-cheek.
Back-ended compliment.
Yeah, right. The sort of thing we'd say, really.
Yeah.
Are we actually teaching? And I would go to the point when you actually look at psychology of learning and how the brain inputs things in, actually we're not teaching kids anything, but actually the kids are teaching themselves, which links back to the whole self-organizing learning system of the brain and the mind and the human. And so what I'm actually saying, listeners, is that as teachers, you might not like this, but you're not teaching them anything in my mind. But what you are doing is you're allowing your students, or facilitating for your students, a space, and that should be a safe and a fun and expanding space for children to have the want to use their initiative to open their minds and to learn by themselves. Mm. And that feeds in, of course, to, well, inquiry-based learning, problem-solving learning, project-based learning, all yes. these things where, like this guy Mitra is doing, letting the kids do their own thing, but with a certain scaffold right. At the base of it.
Yeah. For me, that immediately brings up the whole problem of, well, our schools already look like A, and you want us to go down the road to Z. You know, why could we ever do this? How could we ever make this happen? It's just not possible. But, I mean, if you just take sort of like the view from space of this whole thing, it's like, so we've got, okay, so if we have inquiry-based learning, we've got self-directed learning, problem-solving, say that that's sort of like kindergarten Montessori style learning and it stops at grade school. So at primary level we stop doing that sort of thing. Now some people do like the whole unschooling movement. I'm a fan, but it can't scale. There is no way that you can scale unschooling or homeschooling. That requires very many parents to take time off of other work. It's really, if you look at it deeply, it's not going to happen. So unfortunately, you get this pushback. Well, if that's not going to work and our schools can't change, but then we look at the top of it where you have universities or and other things like other higher learning institutions, polytechnics and apprenticeships. Now, one could argue that a lot of the time that is self-directed learning. Like, you go to a university and you choose the courses that you want to take and you can choose what classes you go to. It's up to you whether or not you hand in your assignments. It's up to you, it's up to you whether or not you study well. Mm. Why is, in between those two self-directed learning modalities, why do we have this very, very old way of teaching children? Why are we still militarizing children, you know, as if we're stuck in the Industrial Revolution still? I mean, we know that's why schools were created the way they were, this modern idea of schooling and the bell system, and this subject is done here, and then we stop doing science, and now suddenly we're doing English. And really, I mean, English and science are so interlinked that very, very difficult to extract the two of them.
Yeah.
So why are we still stuck doing that in between these two places where we've had inquiry-based learning and self-directed study? Why can't we just merge them into the middle? And I think that that's far easier than anybody imagines it would be. It doesn't mean you have to tear down the schools and institutions that already exist.
No.
You just repurpose them. The classrooms can look the same. You've got teachers who love to teach. And I mean, this will self-select for people who are there to control children. Those people will be like, well, F this, I'm gone. Mm. And the people who really love to work with children and to help them to grow into
and to
humans,
learn from them as well. Yeah.
And to learn from them, they will go, yeah, I'm in. Let me do this. So in my mind, the story I had was, imagine yourself as a 7 to 10-year-old.
Mm.
And you're about to hop on the school bus. Except today there's two buses. One takes you to the one bus takes you to the school that you went to when you were 7 to 10 years old. The other one takes you to a school where you get to choose which classroom you sit in, which children you associate with, which teacher you like to go and visit, and you get to choose what you're doing that day. Now, even 7 to 10-year-olds are still, in my mind, they're going to choose the one where they get to make more choices. My son's, what, 6 now? And the biggest problem that we have with his behavior at the moment is if somebody's being too controlling, if somebody's not giving him choice. They crave choice. They crave agency in their own lives. And this is such a simple way of not only doing that, but empowering them to be better learners. They get to make differences in the world from a younger age.
Mm.
I mean, for my vision, a girl gets onto the bus. She goes to school, she has some sort of card or a way that she gets into the gate, and the school knows that she's there.
Mm.
she goes to the classroom that she likes to go and study in. Now, if it was you and I at this school, my classroom would probably look quite calm and quiet and neutral and not too many things on the wall.
Yeah.
There were probably nice desks and things to sit on. I don't know about your classroom. I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds, from what I see, like your classroom would be full of energy and excitement. You would have music and sound and things. Imagine the kids in my class that need that environment. Yeah. They would naturally gravitate towards your classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. And we haven't built a whole new school and made it look like an Apple building.
Or no, not something. At all.
And just so the listeners don't think we're kind of moving towards the 1960s or some bohemian smoking paradise.
Sure, yeah.
I think there is structure to this, of course. There would be a lot of preloading done by the individual classrooms and teachers. And, of course, we'd be working together, which in many schools I don't see happening. But, of course, in many they do, I'm sure. And the other thing would be this coach thing. I bring this coach thing through because I think from the day the child starts, they should have a coach.
Yes.
A teaching coach who they see regularly, who is the soundboard, the listener. Not the teller.
No.
But that person to bounce their ideas and choices off. And why would you like to do that? And do you think this could be good for you? And that kind of open conversation. And more to the point then, because technology, I think, is taking us to a point where for most teachers out there, a robot probably could do what they're doing. And I say that not in a funny way.
No.
And so where should teachers be going into that coaching role of the more personal, social, emotional levels, which the kids never get? Did you ever have a lesson in anger management? Did you ever have a lesson in how to have an argument with somebody? That kind of stuff for me
is hugely important. We're totally missing it.
Most adults walking out there are like seven-year-olds walking around, you know, the way they behave.
Especially here,
great stuff. One thing you did say, Will, about the classroom, the classroom wouldn't change. I think maybe you probably agree with what I'm about to say, but just the way it was said, maybe it might be interpreted of the classroom wouldn't change in the sense that, for example, the classroom I've gone in has just got blocks of tables.
Yes.
And that's okay, but the kids generally never get up from them.
Right.
So I always try to impart a lot of movement and getting up and shaking yourself down and learning English or maths with movement as well. And the other thing would be to bring into these classroom environments to kind of shape the way for this great idea we have. Station work, I think, is a marvelous thing. If you're in a Chinese school now, start very small because they just don't get it, especially if you're working with a Chinese teacher as well.
Yeah.
But revolve, have stations. So around four different stations in the classroom, you have four or five different activities. You don't tell them exactly what to do, but you give them instructions, and those stations revolve. Now, of course, at the beginning, you're going to have to preload them and go through them as a whole class. But later on, they'll start to get the idea of moving on by themselves when you ring a bell or whatever.
Yeah.
And interacting by themselves with new information. So I think that's a great start to get into this kind of changing the mold of what's currently the situation here in China anyway.
You know, the funny thing is that actually works better the younger you start to do it with them.
Right,
so you start that in grade one. It feels like it's more chaotic, but you will have so much more buy-in than if you start that with a grade five or six class. Because they're going to sit there and go, teacher, I don't know. What do you want me to do? Just tell me what you want me to answer. They're just absolutely programmed to answer questions here rather than to think, how do I answer that question?
Yeah.
Why is the question being asked? Or anything like this. Stations are a great way to start that off, especially in first and second grade. Yeah.
The school of the future maybe is what we're talking about here, but maybe the school of the present. It could really be, like you said, it doesn't need massive investment. It just needs a software change.
It actually costs less money at the end of the day because you don't need every child to have every book. They don't need every book. You have a library system where the child would go in, and if that child is interested in a certain subject, then they would take those ones out and they would complete those books.
I think we should come back to this. Well, I think this is a good topic, and there's lots of things we could go into in more detail. I'm sure you'd agree. So fantastic stuff. Looking forward to seeing Dr. Mitra, actually, and we'll have another pod.
Didn't mention why. He's going to be in Zhuhai.
Yes. He's going to be in Zhuhai on the 24th, I believe, of November. It's a Friday, and he's going to be talking at Dulwich International.
Dulwich Zhuhai?
Dulwich Zhuhai.
Okay.
Listeners, don't all come down because I don't think it's a ticket base. Will and I might not even be able to get in at the moment.
It's by invite only, and we're going to sneak in.
Yeah, so. we're gonna China Jedi it in. But it's Friday the 23rd of November, so looking forward to that. And we'll certainly come back with some stuff of how that went if Will and I don't get caught at the door with not the right ID, because you need lots of badges to get into schools like that now, I've been told. Right, Will, hit us with your word of the week.
On the sounds and the words of yesterday.
The word of the week is cultivation.
Marvellous.
There you go. You see why.
Yes.
Yeah, so talking about cultivation, many senses of the word. I mean, immediately though, we can go for the coaching and mentoring side of it. So I think that as teachers, we need to fully embrace that idea of it, of cultivating a child, not necessarily, or yourself to begin with, but, and then working on children as well. Because when we cultivate ourselves, we grow as a person, and then we can, once we've practiced that, then we can help somebody else through that process. And whether that's through some sort of improving your mental state through, I don't know, whatever you choose to do, through mindfulness or some sort of meditation or even reading. Mm. There's plenty of ways to do that out there. But also then learning how to introduce that to children in a non-judgmental, non-forceful way. Like, you don't want to indoctrinate a child into like whatever that you're doing, but you should find a way to make it so that it's palatable for a classroom environment. And really work on coaching a child through something rather than telling them the answers, or at least providing the answers.
When I hear the word cultivation, sure. I think of you in a farm with a trowel, spreading soil, fertile soil over an area of space. Mm. Of course, it can be very much applied to other non-agricultural human pursuits. I do like the word to cultivate, cultivation. The other thing it makes me think of is slow down.
No, definitely.
There we have another bombardment. The world is so fast. The kids are just wanting to do something different so quickly. I know with my six-year-old, if he doesn't like, can't do something, for example, a game on his iPad, he'll stop the game and go on to another one.
Yeah,
and I think this is a real big problem we need to, as fathers and parents and teachers, to really make kids stay on and keep going at the challenge, keep trying.
Yes.
And not have this kind of like lackadaisical, it's a lazy attitude of just move on to something else because there's something else.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a huge challenge. So cultivation, I think, really can feed into that too. Yeah. So marvellous.
Yeah.
Great, love it. Well, cultivation aside, I think it's time for a tippity tip tip tip. Teacher tip time.
A recipe for success if you want to compete.
Oh, it's me.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm tipping away. I tell you what, I didn't know you were going to bring Dr. Mitra up into this today. You naughty man.
I'm terribly sorry.
So on that basis, I don't want to fill our listeners' heads with too much, because I think what we've talked about with souls and the work that Dr. Mitra is doing needs to be looked at by all of the listeners out there, especially those who are teaching, and especially those that are parents. So my tip today is to Google, or whatever search engine you use, Sugata Mitra, or just Mitra, M-I-T-R-A, and then Souls, S-O-L-S. Listen to one of his TED Talks. There's tons of other stuff on there. And just be fascinated by how actually amazing kids are at just teaching themselves. And you might think to yourself, well, you might not have a job in a few years' time with the way technology's going. And if you can be replaced by a teacher, here's a tip for you. You probably should be.
Yeah, if you can't be replaced by a...
If you can be replaced by a robot,
there you go,
then the tip is you probably should be.
Yes.
And the point is, again, moving on to that, that we are actually probably not teachers, but we are facilitators to allow our children to teach themselves. And that's what the whole Souls thing, self-organizing learning systems, ladies and gentlemen and children, is all about. So wonderful. I've been told Riddle of the Week. I've got to give you that one.
Oh,
right,
okay,
here we go. Right. Riddle of the Week. Check this out.
May the smile be with you.
Thank you.
So let me give it to you quickly again. Here it is, Riddle of the Week. The one who made it didn't want it. The one who bought it didn't need it. The one who used it never saw it. What is it, Mr. Lamont?
Electricity.
Electricity, good call. Well, here it is. It's a coffin.
Yes.
And let's hope that we're going nowhere near coffins with our podcast series and our fine sales as well. So everyone out there, great to talk to you again. And we will tune in back again soon, yeah?
Mm.
Yeah, this is China Jedi.
If you enjoy listening to the China Jedi podcast and want to get involved, either by asking a question, expressing your opinion, good or bad, light or dark, or even appearing as a special guest, then get in touch by emailing our team at info@chinajedi.com. That's info@chinajedi.com.
May the smile be with you.